evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, September 26, 2016. The SPLM-IO faction loyal to Riek Machar has declared war once again.
This war has been destructive, but you must understand that the people are just responding to these massacres, to this genocide, to the systematic killing by the government.
And President Kiir's spokesman says the government only wants peace.
We have reached the conclusion that we are not going to go back to war. We are not going to give anybody war, because people of South Sudan deserve more than war. They deserve peace, something better than war. And so we will continue to work for peace with the leader of the SPLM-IO, General Taban Dengai.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The SPLM-IO faction, loyal to former first vice president Riek Machar, says it will wage an armed resistance against President Salva Kiir's government. SPLM-IO officials passed the resolution during a political bureau meeting held in Khartoum late last week. In a statement issued over the weekend, the group declared the peace agreement has collapsed and must be renegotiated. But officials allied to First Vice President Taban Dengai says they are working with the government of national unity to implement the deal. Presidential spokesman Atenywe Kateny tells VOA's James Batty, President Kiir and the government of South Sudan will never return to war.
We have been waging armed resistance since 2013, when this war was imposed on us. We have suspended that until we were attacked recently in Juba. Be also informed that the government is launching attack on our position everywhere in the country. So we are putting up a resistance now.
If you're putting up resistance, aren't you going to cost more lives?
Well, please be educated that we are dealing with violent, ethnocentric regimes of Salva Kiir, who has been actually initiating this violence. So whatever we are doing is not initiation of violence, but responding to violence.
Don't you think that the people of South Sudan are war-weary, that they may look upon what you have declared as another attempt to put the country in more darkness?
You know, the people of South Sudan do not need war, and I agree with you. This war has been destructive, but you must understand that the people are just responding to these massacres, to this genocide, to the systematic killing by the government, which pretend to be the government of the people. But it is not a war that our people really love to continue with. Our people are war-weary. They want this war to end. But the government has been doing the opposite, killing them, of course, with violence.
Are you going to wage this armed struggle from outside the country, or do you have representation inside South Sudan?
This armed resistance is being waged inside South Sudan, where the government is attacking our position.
The United Nations General Assembly just concluded. I'm sure you were there. What did you hear about what happened to your leader and the situation in South Sudan?
Well, you know, the United Nations has done only one good thing, and we thank the leadership of Ban Ki-moon of extricating our leader and the leadership of the SPLM-IO in the jungle of Congo. The rest has always been empty threats against Salva Kiir, who has been violating this agreement without any consequences from the United Nations, from the region, and the international community entirely. We have been expecting hard decision to be made against this violent tribal regime in Juba.
So where is Dr. Riek Machar now?
Well, Riek Machar has been in Khartoum on humanitarian grounds, getting medical treatment and some rehabilitation, enduring real hardship, physical hardship, on his way to Congo. He's still in Khartoum.
Now, the government will say that his time is over, There's no space for him now with the appointment of Taban Dengai.
You read the provisional constitution of South Sudan 2011, the terms of Salva Kiir and Riek Machar as running mates out of the election of 2010 expired in July 2015. They were legitimized together only by the agreement. So the two are bound to work together or both leave the political scene of South Sudan.
That's Stephen Parr, SPLM-IO senior member. He was speaking to VOA's James Batty here in Washington on Sunday. President Kiir's spokesman says he is not surprised by Machar's decision to go back to war. Atenyue Kateny says President Kiir remains committed to implementing the August peace agreement.
We have reached the conclusion that we are not going to go back to war. We are not going to give anybody war because people of South Sudan deserve more than war. They deserve peace, something better than war. And so we will continue to work for peace with the leader of the SPLAIO, General Taban Dengai, who took over the reign of the SPLAIO after Dr. Riek Machar exit from Juba.
Ateny says President Kiir and the people of South Sudan are not ready for another war and that the Kiir administration has been avoiding provocations from forces loyal to Machar.
It is Riek Machar who does not have anything better to offer to people of South Sudan other than war. But for us, we are on record that peace is what we can give people of South Sudan. And our president is on record since signing of the CPA, that the Comprehensive Peace Agreement, which culminated into the independence of South Sudan. President Salva Kiir said he was not going to take people of South Sudan to war, even if he's provoked, and he managed.
That's presidential spokesman Ateny Wek Ateny. While in Juba, SPLM members loyal to Taban Dengai say the Transitional Government of National Unity will continue to work with President Kiir to implement the peace agreement. Waki Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Nairobi.
John Clement, a senior member of the SPLM-IO faction led by Taban Dengai, denies the peace deal has collapsed, arguing Deng and the president are progressing well on implementing the agreement.
The SPLM-IO now is still part of the government, but this is by General Taban Dengai.
During their three-day meeting in Khartoum, the SPLM-IO leaders Alit to Machar also called for renegotiating the peace agreement. It's the first time Machar has issued a statement outlining his position on the status of the peace agreement since the outbreak of fighting in the capital early July when Machar fled the country. The SPLM-IO statement signed by Machar describes President Kiir's regime as a rogue government and a spoiler of peace that threatens regional and international peace. Clement calls Machar's plan an empty resistance against Juba and says the campaign will only return the country to war.
We are in the government now. We are part and parcel of government, the government of national unity. So we are for peace and we'll go ahead with the government to implement the peace.
Deputy Information Minister Akolpol Kordit says the 2015 peace agreement is intact and the government and opposition faction allied with Deng are working closely to implement it.
The peace agreement is in place and all the institutions established by the peace agreement are in place because peace agreement is reflected in its institutions. The joint monitoring and evaluation mechanism is in place, which is GEMEC. Established by the agreement, fully intact. The Transitional Government of National Unity is intact also. The Transitional National Legislative Assembly is in place.
Machar also sacked all SPLM-AIO officials serving in the Kiir administration, including First Vice President Deng and Alfred Ladugore, who is Machar's deputy. Kordit insists that the government and SPLM-AIO factions are implementing the provisions in the peace deal.
We have major issues to focus on, the redevelopment of war-affected areas, restoration of peace and stability across the country through the agreement, the settlement of IDPs, and development of the country, and preparing the country for census and hence elections, as stipulated in the agreement, as well as reconciliation, justice, accountability. These are major issues we are on now as transitional government of national unity, and will not allow Riek Machar to sidetrack us.
The Secretary General of the United Nations last week called for an inclusive process of peacemaking in South Sudan. For VOA News, I am Waki Simon Wudu in Nairobi.
A military spokesman for the SPLM-IO faction loyal to former First Vice President Riek Machar says Machar's forces and government forces fought in Roop Corner County yesterday, but today things are calm and hundreds of civilians are reported to have fled out of Bentiu town and are seeking shelter at the United Nations camp. Bonifacio Taban has more for VOA from Kampala.
Army opposition spokesman Major Weriel Pogba Luang said government and rebel force exchanged heavy gunfire in Wichbar, Tong, and the Fakur areas northwest of Bentiu on Sunday. Government force now control both Bentiu and Rupkona Town in the oil-rich former Unity State. Pog accused government force of starting the fighting. He said government force have been hunting for rebel fighters for the past week in areas just outside of Bentiu and Rupkona, which are controlled by the armed opposition. Pog said rebel force refueled the attacks about 8 kilometers outside of the towns.
Our defensive locations at Pakur, Wichbar, Tong, and Kaljak areas came under substantial assaults from the region's army. However, our courageous SPLA-IO army badly defeated the attackers back to Bentiu town.
Pog did not specify how many casualties result from the yesterday attacks and counter-attacks. Pog accused force loyal to President Salva Kiir of resorting to war despite permanent ceasefire declared by both President Kiir and Machar after deadly fighting broke out in Juba in July.
We are not attacking the government. The government have attacked our positions. We don't attack them. They are the ones who came with aim of gaining more territories and pursuing us.
South Sudan Army spokesman Brigadier General Ruwai Kong said he has no knowledge of fighting in that area. Pog said the SPLA-IO has no choice but to fight the South Sudan Army in self-defense.
We have no other alternative than to fight. We fight the genocidal government, the government that subjected our civilians into untold suffering and death. Our people are living in bushes. Our people are living in enemies' camps across the country for almost 3 years. How do you term such organizations? It is the only fighting that will let the government in Juba go away from the civilians.
The armed opposition ally to Machar said the 2015 peace deal has collapsed and the transitional government of national unity is no longer abiding by President Kiir's decision to replace Machar with his former chief negotiator, Taban Dengai. For BOA News, I'm Bonifacio Taban in Kampala.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, a high-ranking U.S. official on African affairs comments on the highlights of the U.N. General Assembly, including events in South Sudan. More on that story when we come back.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how do you resolve problems with your relatives?
We have to listen to all directions where the problem is coming from. We listen to different parties and then we come up with a solution to it, maybe through brainstorming.
For instance, one day we have conflict with my elder brother. He was dominating the property of the father. So what I did is that I have not to take him to the court or elsewhere, but best thing is to call the members of the relative, uncle, auntie, and the rest of the brothers, so that we come and discuss the issue, the misconvenience among us.
Dad will usually sit us down, get our opinions on certain issues that are affecting us, and then at the end of the day, that's when they'll make the decisions as parents.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Last week, heads of states, government ministers, ambassadors, national delegations, and NGO leaders met in New York for the opening of the UN General Assembly. Among those attending was Linda Thomas-Greenfield, U.S. Assistant Secretary for Africa Affairs. She reflected on the week's highlights in this exclusive interview with VOA's Adam Phillips.
It's been extraordinarily busy. I'm exhausted after a full week of bilateral meetings with every head of state or delegation that I could possibly meet with. I met with some who just wanted to meet with me and have a courtesy call, and I met with others where we had to discuss intense issues of concern. And those issues are what is happening in Gabon right now. We expect that a decision might have been made today by the Constitutional Court on the disputed election. We had meetings on South Sudan and a serious expression of disappointment that South Sudan is where it is today, and a frustration that we have not been able to find a path for peace in South Sudan, but a dedication to doing that.
And did you feel heard in that disappointment? I mean, do you think it's going to be a substantive righting of the course because it came through?
Absolutely. The UN had a special session on South Sudan, and that expression of frustration was, I think, indicated. But also there was a commitment.
What about Burundi? I mean, there's been a lot of rumbling about that of late. I was wondering what you had to say about that.
We still have some more work to do on Burundi. There is a dialogue process that is being led by the former president of Tanzania, President Mkapa. We thought that he has put some new life into the discussions in Burundi, and we're hopeful that these discussions will lead to a process that will bring peace back to this country. For 10 years, Burundi had peace, and a decision by President Nkurunziza to extend for a third term has lost all of the accomplishments that he made over 10 years and set this country back.
So you think the blush is off the rose?
Oh, the blush is off the rose. It really is. And the people who are suffering the most are ordinary people. You know, I tell the people who work in the Africa Bureau, and they're all extraordinarily dedicated to Africa, that they should know that that's what our job is. We deal with governments so that we can bring a better life to the people of Africa.
Tell me about the DRC now. We're sort of switching to that area of the world. What's the same and what's different about the situation? What's the scenario look like from your seat?
We're very worried about the situation in DRC. The recent breakdown of the dialogue has disappointed all of us. We're hopeful that the dialogue or some new dialogue will start up that will be inclusive, that will find a way forward for there to be a transition. And again, I think that President Kabila, if he allows for a transition, will go down in history. He will leave a legacy for his country as the first elected president to leave office and turn over power to a newly elected president.
And if he doesn't, he'll have another legacy.
If he doesn't, he'll have another legacy, which is one in which his country may be even more difficult to govern, and that his population is not able to benefit from the immense resources that this country can provide.
So what's good that's going on in Africa?
I love that question. There is so much good that is happening on the continent of Africa. As we look at the election in Nigeria and Senegal and Benin and Burkina Faso, Cote d'Ivoire, I can go on. And I know I'm leaving out countries that will be listening and say, well, why didn't she mention our country? But there's too many to mention. And I think that's the positive thing. And then we see an extraordinary cohort of young people in Africa who want to contribute to the continent's future, and they are that future.
That was Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield, the U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for African Affairs. She spoke with VOA's Adam Phillips at the United Nations in New York. South Sudan's first Vice President, Taban Dengai, delivered his first address on Friday at an annual meeting of heads of states and government officials during the UN General Assembly. Deng urged member countries, including South Sudan's neighbor, to assist the country with ushering an era of peace and development. Ayen Bior has this report for VOA from Washington.
Deng used his 15-minute speech to try to reassure leaders of UN member states that despite recent reports of fighting, South Sudan is by and large at peace.
At the moment, I can report to you with confidence that the situation in my country is stable, peaceful, that my government is functioning, and life is returning back to normal. The Transitional National Legislative Assembly, TNLA, is operational and has been reconstituted and is continuing with its works. And cantonment of forces, cantonment areas for the armies is established. However, the effect of the conflict coupled with the low global oil prices has put our economy under unprecedented fiscal stresses, thus creating hardship for the general public. Nevertheless, together with our development partners and friends, we are exerting every effort to address these economic shocks through stabilization of the security situation, streamlining our fiscal policies, improving income from non-oil revenue, engaging in agricultural activities, mining, tourism, including ecotourism, and encouraging investors to come to South Sudan.
Deng also said South Sudan and Sudan are working to ensure that the two states are reconciled so they can serve their citizens.
There shall be no more harboring of negative forces from both countries. Sudan and South Sudan are also working closely with region, especially Ethiopia, Kenya, Uganda, to realize the vision of sustainable development through the implementation of infrastructure such as power, roads, to improve life of the citizens.
The UN has approved the deployment of a 4,000-strong regional protection force, but the details are still being worked out. Deng says his country vows to work with the UN mission in South Sudan to bring peace to the country.
The Republic of South Sudan will cooperate with UNMISS, the regional bodies, IGAD, EAC, AU, Troika, EU, and all our friends in a journey towards recovery from the tragedy that befall us. We promise to bring peace, justice, rebuild a strong and credible institution in our country. It is our plan to move the country forward on its major developmental projects, roads, bridges, new cities, power, education, health, modernized agriculture, so that we can feed our people. We are going to commit our endowed resources from oil, mineral, human resource, etc., for the development of the youngest nation in the world. What we call upon you all as partners is support, cooperation, consultation, dialogue, as well as partner together in transforming our world through the attainment of the Sustainable Development Goals by 2030. In our most recent history, our actions have created more suffering than solving problems. This should and must not be the case if we want to be true to ideals and principles of principles stipulated in the UN Charter.
Deng said the government is committed to using its resources and develop the country and asked donor nations to continue supporting South Sudan. Deng is expected to travel to Washington, D.C. this week as part of his tour of North America. For VOA News, I'm Ian Bior in Washington.
A South Sudanese legal and political analyst says the speech delivered by Taban Deng at the UN General Assembly on Friday did not address the dire humanitarian and economic crisis in South Sudan. Remember, Miamingi says Deng's speech was meant to mislead members of the UN General Assembly to believe that everything is normal in South Sudan. Miamingi says Taban had an opportunity to seek international support for families in South Sudan who are on the verge of starvation.
I think that the speech is really a true representation of government's policy of deceitful diplomacy. So I really got disappointed that such an ample opportunity to present to the world the suffering, the insecurity, the displacement, death, destruction, and despair in South Sudan has been wasted in a basket full of lies. How do you stand before the same United Nations that is reporting instability on a daily basis, that is reporting death and destruction, outstanding poverty, displacement on a daily basis, and to say that South Sudan is peaceful and stable?
Some people will tell you that Taban Deng has no other options but to tell the world what he was saying, because he's been instructed to say that.
And if that is true, then he has no business being in that place at all. If in fact he says that they are equal partners, as he alluded to in that speech, in the implementation of the peace agreement, and he cannot speak with authority on behalf of his constituency, then what business has he to do in that place in the first place?
If you were given an opportunity to advise him, what were you going to tell him to tell the UN General Assembly?
I would have loved to hear him say that South Sudan at this stage is in its critical moment. South Sudan is already moving from the verge of a failing state to a failed state. It is a country in dire need of international support. It is a country whose citizens are dying in their hundreds and thousands on a daily basis. It is a country that has already reached the mark of 1 million refugees outside, millions displaced inside. It is a country incapable of protecting itself. It is a country incapable of protecting its people. It is a country incapable of providing for its own people. It is a country in coma and a country that needs international support and needs it immediately. That the leaders are incapable of resolving and reconciling. That the leaders are incapable of supervising the process of peace and reconciliation. And that they need international support, and they need it now, if the country is going to be prevented from sliding back into a full-scale, devastating civil war.
He mentioned in his speech that the world should not abandon South Sudan because there are challenges that the government is trying to address.
Here is a beggar who decides on what to receive and not what to receive. He, of course, says South Sudan is doing well, it is stable. This only fluctuation in global oil prices that is affecting the oil, and we know that is a lie, because the conflict has significantly affected the level of oil production and the prices. He's saying people are engaging in agriculture, and we know that is a lie. He says that they're already working on alternative revenues from where, when businesses have collapsed and closed. Those are absolutely lies that he's telling, and he's not, and the base of that lie, he is now calling for support to come to him, and I think that kind of support and begging is deceitful, and people will not take him very seriously.
That's Remember Miamingi, a South Sudanese human rights law expert based at the Center for Human Rights, Faculty of Law, University of Pretoria. He was speaking to me from Pretoria earlier today. And that's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Ana Taban by a group of South Sudanese musicians. نجري لمتين وليوين نديالنا وندي أرواحنا وندي دمنا فضل شنو تاني أنا تعبان أنا ما شعبان لكن أنا بس تعبان أنا ما فرحان لكن أنا بس فتران أنا ما سكران لكن أنا بس كسران أنا ما كسران لكن أنا بس تعبان وهدو السلام افرضكم اقوم يا في الجنوب داس لا يكون حاجة مواطني ما يشوف يا بنية بونجول جابا حبوبة حاجات ما بفا في الجنوب دا قبلية جوا انظرية جوا كريهية جوا قلبة كبير جوا فزان جوا نغمة حاجات الناس جوا مويا زوت فلاش اوفي جيدة بابا البزوكا جري لبتين جنوبين قايدين في كمبالا نيروبي يوين امريكا اوستراليا سبين اي روكو جا دنيا جنوبين في لي وبلتان الدالة No wisdom, why sound the gun? Redundant, like a head song. I'm feeling so tired, and it's time fun. And it's time fun, man, jere, jere. We've been listening to South Sudanese musicians with the song Ana Taban. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
ale nuru pia batale
mot wotulu jom ci telephone ci lu tanina karabu dina malu